Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 241 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good stuff. Glad to see you. 2 weeks in a row. I'm quite impressed.
I'm getting better.
You haven't been ill or anything. That's amazing. Right, what have we got coming up on the show this week?
Well, we're going to be talking to our very own Julian Britton about some Wolves events that's coming up soon.
Yeah, things taking place down here at Molineux, whether it be in Sir Jack's or in WV1, all about those. We'll be hearing from Black Country Gaz Sawyer, about Black Country Festival and Black Country Day itself. Also, we're talking to a fantastic glass artist as well, aren't we?
Yes, Alistair Malcolm. He's going to be on the phone.
In the studio, he says, putting all the microphones up because they're all here live and in the studio with us, Enchanté. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Now, we have Ron.
Yes, hi.
Nick.
Hi.
And the spokesperson of the group, I think, is going to be Jocelyn. Hello.
Hello, bonjour.
Bonjour, and you're French and everything.
I am, yes.
We'll find out more about that a little bit later on, okay? And we'll have some fantastic music from them as we head through the show. But first of all, the official Agatha Christie Theatre Company bring Hercule Poirot to the Grand Theatre in Wolverhampton with Black Coffee from Monday the 3rd through to Saturday the 8th of February. And the man behind the moustache is Robert Pell. Hello, sir.
Hello to you.
Obviously, there's plenty of things we can talk about in your history. We'll get to that in a moment or two's time. But first of all, how many roles have required you to play somebody who's Belgian?
This is a first.
I couldn't think of any other good ones, but it must, apart from Tintin, is he Belgian or is he French? I'm not sure.
Yeah, Hergé, I think, was Belgian, so I think Tintin may have been Belgian.
A number of roles that you've played in the theatre over the years, and you must probably love the theatre work itself.
Yeah, I mean, I do, to an extent, but it's a means to an end. It's a way of earning a living. There are easier ways of earning a living for an actor.
Yeah.
Theatre is probably the hardest.
But it's a good way of connecting with the audience in a slightly different way to what you would do maybe, say, in Holby City, which you've been up to in recent years.
Holby is a completely different kettle of fish, but as I say, theatre is very tough. It's very tiring, and you do it 6 nights a week for a long time, and that in itself is quite wearing.
Now, Black Coffee is the first play that Agatha Christie wrote introducing Hercule Poirot to the world. And does this mean you tend to find, although many people know various other productions and TV shows and films with Hercule in it, that you get to bring your own version of the man to the stage?
Yeah, this is the first play she ever wrote. And it's the only play she ever wrote with Poirot as the protagonist. And she wrote it because, this is according to the family, she wrote it because she was disappointed with other people's adaptations of her books into theatre, and so she wanted to show them how to do it, if you like.
Yeah.
So this was her first foray into playwriting, and as I say, the only time she ever used Poirot as the leading detective, so to speak. People are completely unfamiliar with it. It has been under wraps for some time now, deliberately by the Agatha Christie Trust, because they didn't want to muddy the waters with the ITV series going. And as I say, it's unique, because Poirot doesn't exist on stage. I think there are a couple of other adaptations around, but this is the official one.
And I assume then a great honour to be chosen to play the part. As you say, hard work, but an interesting challenge.
Yeah. I mean, if for no other reason, it's huge. And also a lot of the, because Poirot is what he is, a lot of the dialogue is fractured. He thinks he speaks perfect English, but of course he doesn't. He puts things the wrong way round, and one has to be quite careful to get that right, because that's the rhythm of his dialogue, and it's very particular. But that's quite hard work to remember. So it took some while to get it into my head.
So who else is joining you in the cast for this one?
Well, I've got Lisa Goddard, Ben Neelan, Gary Mavers, Olivia Mace. It's quite a big cast, actually. Eric Carr. We've got, I think, there are 12 of us, so it's not a small cast.
And it's on for a whole week in Wolverhampton, as I say, Monday the 3rd through Saturday the 8th of February. Tickets for that one are priced from £14.50 through to £25.50, but well worth getting yourself down to see a production like this, particularly somebody with your history. And I don't wish to make you sound senior, however you are certainly one of the great statesmen of both film, stage and TV.
I am a little senior. but just the old cliche, you're only as old as you feel, really. And sometimes I feel very old, but it's all in your head. And we're having a but they're having great fun with this play, I must admit, and the audiences so far have been hugely enthusiastic. They get whistles and cheers and all that kind of thing at the end, so they love it. It's a lot of fun, I've got to say.
Well, how many people do you find who are coming to see that the heartthrob from their youth, potentially? Does that come across as well in your audience? Is it teasing you slightly?
I'm very lucky in so much as I can tell you this, that a few years ago I was doing a play and one of the younger actors was peering through the curtain at the audience before the show, and he said, "They're all grey." And I said, "Yes." I said, that's my fan base. They've grown up with me. You know, they're the people who've known me on television for the last 40-odd years. And they're very loyal. If they, you know, once you get people who like what you do, their loyalty is terrific. So in theatre in general, I've had a very nice ability to bring, if you like, to bring people into the theatre, whatever I'm doing. But when you combine that with something like a Christie play, then you double the odds, and we're now playing to completely full houses. If anybody wants to go and see it, they'd better get on the phone to The Ground in Wolverhampton and book, because it should be moving quite quickly, I think.
I can imagine it will. 01902 429212 is the phone number, or you can book online at grandtheatre.co.uk. So you can see Robert Pell, Lisa Goddard, a host of absolutely fantastic names, big names in theatre, even if some of them you haven't seen on TV quite so much. And as you said, it's hard-working actors that makes a difference, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And this is a lovely company, and we all get on. And I think that shows when the audience see the play. It's a huge amount of fun. For those who have been only aware of Poirot for the last 20 years on the ITV series, it was a fairly serious Poirot. The great thing about taking on this role, and Christie wrote it, so you know, I'm not cheating. This is quite funny as well. So there are lots of laughs in it, as well as drama. So it's I think, possibly a slightly lighter Poirot than people have been used to for the last 20 years. So.
And I suppose then the other question I have to ask, is it your own moustache or one that you stick on?
Well, no, we tried. I mean, I had a beard when I was doing Singing in the Rain.
You take facial hair very seriously, I take it then?
Well, no, I just take them. They come on and off. I have a beard sometimes and sometimes I don't. You know, if you've grown one for a part, then I don't immediately shave it off, purely and simply because it takes me 3 minutes to shave it off and then 4 or 5 weeks to grow it. So the next part, somebody may say, "Can we have a beard?" And I don't like sticking beards on. We tried my own moustache. It never can look as iconic, and it's a trademark, so we stick one on.
Yeah.
It looks terrific, yeah.
But it means you can also take it to the pub with you and show off afterwards, that sort of thing, too.
No.
It's not like a pet. Okay. All right, I always wonder.
That's one of the great things, of course, is I don't actually have to wander around the streets looking like Poirot.
I assume your dress sense is somewhat different
it is a little, but the moustache would be a bit of a giveaway.
It'd take some of the magic away. Robert Pell, thank you for joining us. Good talking to you. Have a good time on stage. Break whatever is necessary, but make sure it's not the bit that glues the moustache on, otherwise you'll have real trouble throughout the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
To some in-house music tonight.
Yeah, and I think we're going to be heading slightly across the channel for this, aren't we? Because we have them in the studio, Ron, Nick and Jocelyn with Enchanté. Hello again.
Bonsoir.
Hi, hello.
I'd like the bonsoir in the middle. So, Jocelyn, I think we have to start with you just to quickly explain that you are a bit French, aren't you?
A little bit, yes.
Just a bit. Which bits?
Paris. I was born and bred in
lovely.
Paris.
Oh, yes. Fancy leaving Paris to come to wet and windy Wolverhampton.
I've been asked questions many, many times.
Okay. We'll find out more about what you get up to after we've heard the sound. So what are we going to hear first?
You're going to hear a song I wrote about a year ago. It's called Remember Marianne, and it's a sad story of bad love, what you would call a story of abuse and revenge, and it's very sad. Marianne sat all on her own in our class of 31. Marianne, she didn't say much. She shied away from human touch. She never joined in our games. Her excuse was always the same. I must be home and help me, Dad. I must be home and help me, Dad. Marianne blamed her clumsiness for the bruises upon her face. Marianne, remember Marianne, sad brown eyes and mousy hair, dirty fingernails and a tail in that old dress she used to wear. Marianne, remember Marianne. We all grew up and soon the boys replaced our games and children's toys. Saturday night we'd go to dance, get a kiss if we got the chance. Marianne always stayed behind, she used to say she didn't mind. She'd say I've no time for the lads, I must be home and help me dad. Marianne, she never said why she got those scratches on her thighs. Marianne, remember Marianne, sad brown eyes and mousy hair, dirty fingernails and a tail in that old dress she used to wear. Marianne, remember Marianne. Soon enough we all found our way, some stayed around, some moved away, some married and produced a brood, others like me chose singlehood. Marianne, she didn't marry, she didn't leave for the city. No husband, no children she had, she just at home and help her dad. Nobody saw Marianne weep when her father died in his sleep. All on her own in a cell numbered 31. Marianne, she doesn't say much, she shies away from human touch. Jury of 12 found her guilty of murder in the first degree. She poisoned her father, they said, and life is a price she must pay. Her life inside is much the same, nowhere to run and hide your shame. Marianne blames her clumsiness for the bruises upon her face.
Absolutely lovely. Brilliant. And a full studio audience for that one as well. We're loving this because we've got Jan, our producer, at the back of the room as well. Hello, Jan.
Hello.
Thank you for bringing these guys in, and it's good to have you, and an amazing sound. A bit of a depressing story, I will admit, but somebody kind of got their comeuppance at the end, even if they did have to pay the price for it in some way. And I'm hoping that's in no way autobiographical.
No, no, good God, no. Thank God for that.
Yes. But, okay, so you're French. We have a very Parisian sound there, I assume. I'd have to admit, I don't know much about France because I've never even been there apart from visiting Charles de Gaulle, which means I have a very negative opinion of France, unfortunately.
Oh, dear.
But it's not like that at all, is it, really?
We'll try to change your mind then before the end of this session.
Hopefully the rest of the music will do that for me. So how did Enchanté come about?
Well, oh, my goodness. I'd taken the guitar again and started to write, because I used to do that when I was a lot younger, mm-hmm. and raised my family in England. And then about 9 years ago, I started to write songs again and play the guitar and go in various music clubs in the West Midlands and around Lichfield, where I live. And I met Nick, who was playing there with his own band. And he kind of liked the sound I was making with my guitar. And he also has a recording studio. And he said, oh, I would like to record you. And that's how, basically, my association with Nick started.
And where did you find Ron? Was he wandering the streets?
Kind of, no. No, then the duo Chanté was born. And I was then playing those same clubs with Nick. Mm-hmm. And then it's about almost 2 years ago, isn't
yes,
it now,
yep,
Ron?
Yep.
We were playing this club, and Ron was playing, actually. We'd been playing already, and he was playing, and we were looking for a third man, actually. And we looked at each other and we thought, this is our third man. Mm-hmm. So we cornered him on the way out. So you're not going home until you've signed up with us. And here he is.
So let's work our way around the band then, because I'm glad to call you a band. Is that the ensemble? Nick, you've got a whopping great big instrument there.
Yes, double bass, three-quarter size double bass.
And this means you have to lug this thing to and from gigs, which can't be easy.
Oh, no. I wish I'd taken up the penny whistle, to be honest.
It'd be a lot simpler, wouldn't it?
But so it's a lovely sound, though, isn't it? Lovely sound.
But it is. It's a beautiful instrument. Yeah. It has a beautiful sound.
Mm-hmm. And both Jocelyn and Ron playing guitar. And Ron, is there anything specific I should know about your guitar?
Not really. I mean, it's a classical guitar in the same way that Joyce is a classical guitar. Basically means it's a nylon strung guitar. Mm-hmm. That's really my background as a classical guitarist.
And where are you gigging? Because there's got to be a lot of call for this. It's just such a beautiful sound.
Well, anybody who will have us, to be honest, that is a long short of it. But we do special occasions, obviously, weddings, special occasions, St. Valentine's. Valentine's coming up. Mm-hmm. Acoustic venues, restaurants. We've played the Garrick in Lichfield.
Yes.
We play in the Guildhall on Friday the 7th.
Yeah.
We do a fair few village halls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, but as I said, everybody wants Enchanté, here we are.
Yeah. And they will want you. Okay, let's take another song. What are we going to hear this time?
This one is called Dancing in the Hall, and it's a kind of a sad song, but fortunately done in a much more livelier presentation, and it's the story of a woman who's lost a man in the war, and she just remembers the way he used to dance with her in the house, remembering her lost love. When darkness comes, curtains drawn. I won't feel alone when I dream that you hold me in your arms, and we dance in the kitchen, and we dance in the garden, and we dance in the hall. And once again, we have it all when we dance in the kitchen, when we dance in the garden, when we dance in the hall. And now you're here, and we dance in the kitchen, and we dance in the garden, and we dance, and we dance in the hall. Oh yes, how we dance, we dance, we dance, 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 dance. Oh, how we dance, we dance.
That was lovely, wasn't it, Jason?
Absolutely brilliant. Really, yes. Really enjoyed that.
And I will be hearing more from you later.
We're joined on the phone now by Asda Malcolm, glass artist, and he's actually part of the team at Broadfield House. Hello, sir.
Hello there, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah.
Now, Broadfield House, you work down there and you produce all sorts of interesting commissions. So tell us where it is and what and how on earth you get up to these things.
Well, Broadfield House Glass Museum is just based in King's Winford and houses one of the finest collections of British glass in the country. And I guess it's based there due to the fact that, you know, within 5 miles of the place, there was the world leading glass manufacturers. So the collection itself is sensational. And then on one wing of the museum, I occupy a barn, and the members of the public visiting the museum are welcome to come into the barn and watch us making whilst the museum's open. Essentially, I have a lease for that side of the building, and we run a privately run business from there. So it's a way of providing quite a live demonstration. So the demonstrations are essentially whatever I have orders for at the time. Mm-hmm. Members of the public will get to see not only glass making demonstrations, but they're live in as much as we're physically making products to demand. For sale across the country. I generally deal with about 30 to 40 galleries, small little independent retailers that I've found over the years that want to sell a high-end design-led contemporary craft.
Now, but are you allowed to copy some of the pieces in the Broadfield House Museum, or is that a bit naughty?
It probably would be a bit naughty, and to be honest with you, a lot of them, you know, they're treasured possessions, but a lot of them, some of them just baffle me as to how they might be made anyway.
Really? And you're good at this sort of stuff, so if it's got you confused, it's going to confuse anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
If people do come and see your demonstration and they like what they see, do you have, you know, ready-made ones, perhaps in, not mass production, but that you've already pre-prepared that people can purchase at the time, or is it just all commission-based?
It is all commissioned, but generally we have a small display of I'd say maybe 30, 40 pieces, and it's continually revolving because essentially the display is, I have a little space where we accumulate the stock before it goes out ready for order. And so there's always items there for people to look at and buy. And it's invariably the case that when I'm making orders, people come along and they want
one of those.
The item that either they've just watched being made or they like the pieces that we made the previous day. So sometimes there's a bit of a battle to refill gaps that have been created from people purchasing.
But you'll never want to turn down a sale, I'm sure.
Absolutely not. No.
Can't afford to be, but there we are.
I was going to say, I'm just browsing your website and they look absolutely fantastic. Are they expensive? I mean, if somebody wanted one, perhaps just for a special gift for somebody, are they going to start off quite reasonable?
Say, yeah, some of the smaller items, we do some baubles and some small paperweights, and they range from maybe £8 and £12. And then we've got vases that can retail around about the £45 to £60 mark. But then I have sort of large scale one-offs, which, you know, that we don't generally sell them to members of the public who just make spur at the moment purchases, because the higher level is near the £700 to £800 mark. But so I like to think that there's something amongst my collection for everybody, really. Yeah. I like to hopefully cater for all areas.
And are you selling online as well?
And we don't sell online because I deal with a lot of small independent galleries, and we just supply to them at trade, and then people are welcome to come and visit the studio and buy directly from us. But I don't really want to be seen to be competing with the small independent outlets that are trying to support at the moment.
And it's good to have places like that where you can see a range of different things, and that somebody may go in for a piece by an artist they know locally, see some of your work, fall in love, and before you know it, they're at your place trying to buy something significant, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
It looks like you've been all over the world, from bits on your website, New York, San Francisco, Germany.
Yeah, I've been quite fortunate. You know, I would never have really thought when I went into this business that that my work would have taken me all around the world. But yeah, I've been quite fortunate. We did the New York Gift Fair for quite a few years on the trot, and essentially for maybe 5 years. The bigger proportion of my turnover was work that was just being exported to the States, which was quite an exciting time. And I was sad to slow down on that, really. But what I realised was that I'd neglected the UK market. And so I came back to the UK and decided to concentrate a little bit more at home.
Yeah. Are you ever sad to see a piece go? I mean, have you got something that perhaps you've finished and you think, oh, I'd really like to keep that?
Yeah, I mean, we have some of the more involved one-offs. You do put quite a lot of time and energy into developing not only the concept, but, you know, refining the finish of pieces. And sometimes it's impossible to really put the full price onto the piece, because you just know that it would never sell. And as a result, I tend to, you know, I don't feel that in any rush to sell some of the pieces. So yeah, I've got a few that have got not for sale on them. And I guess the time will come one day when I'm ready to sell them.
Or if the price is right, someone comes with a big checkbook or a wad of cash, you know, you never know what might happen.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Alistair, it's been a fantastic talking to you. So it is definitely worthwhile getting along to your website to look at your work. So please give us the web address.
It's www.alistairmalcolm.com, AlistairMalcolm.com.
And you can get in touch via that website, and people can come along and see you. What's the address in Kings Winford?
It's Broadfield House Glass Museum, Compton Drive, Kings Winford.
And get along there. And when is it open?
It's open from, I'm demonstrating from Wednesday through to Sunday, 12 till 4 p.m.
And you can come along, see the work that's been done. Obviously, you're working at other times on things in your own, and another site probably, in your secret bunker where you develop new ideas, yes?
It's all actually done. It's all done on site in the museum.
Oh, okay.
So there's few secrets. It's quite a scary prospect for a lot of artists, but I like the fact that I'm there in front of the public all the time.
You like an audience.
Yeah.
I bet you probably get used to it, though, after a bit. You probably don't even see half of them coming past watching you.
You do get used to it. You do get used to it. And it's a welcome break to the day, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Oh, well, worth getting down there to take a look at what's happening, and certainly check out the website to find out the ranges that are available, because it's a beautifully photographed as well. It really brings the work out well.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Well, we look forward to maybe getting down to see you, and if not, hope to hear from you again soon. If you've got a project coming up or something big, do let us know and we'll have a chat with you again.
Brilliant. All right.
Cheers.
Ciao for now.
Bye-bye.
Looking
forward to this now. I think it's time to have some more from Enchanté.
Yes. So, Jocelyn, what have you got lined up for us? We could talk to the boys, couldn't we? But, Jocelyn, what have we got? Do you want to volunteer one of the lads to tell us?
We know the bosses.
Yeah. Okay. So, definitely, Jocelyn, what have you got to tell us a tale of this time round?
This next song is called The Last Show. the last show is the story of a lady who used to be a hugely famous artist performing the big stages, Paris, Broadway, mm-hmm. the West End. But now she is old and she still sings, but in some small club, some backstreet small club where nobody knows who she is, remembers who she is. So she still remembers the glory of her younger days, and this actually tells the story of her very last performance, literally. She walks into the room.
Is an artist, she starred at the Chat Noir. She trod the Broadway boards, West End and Alcazar. And when the curtain fell, with bravos and all calls, she curtsied her farewell, the crowd begging for more. Roses covered the floor, and her life was so sweet. Yes, her life was so sweet. The world was at her feet, the world was at her feet. The world. Now the show is over. She has done her last song. But no one looks at her, you see that she is gone. The air's full of perfume and smoke and booze and sweat. On the way to her room, she lights a cigarette. And facing the mirror, without emotion, she stares at the stranger, this grotesque reflection. Later the morning sun gently kisses her face, but her eyes are blind. She's gone to another place. Madame is an artiste. She starred at the Chat Noir. She trod the Broadway boards, West End and Alcazar. And when the curtain fell, with bravos and all calls, she curtsied her face. covered the floor. And her life was so sweet. Yes, her life is so sweet. The world is at her feet. The world is at her feet. The world. The world. Is gone.
That was absolutely fantastic. And you can just imagine from the music that you could be anywhere in France, couldn't you, sitting in an outside cafe and you've got the music around you. Is that what where you get your inspiration for your songs from, your previous, when you used to live in France?
Yes, I mean, I grew up with the French, the big French classics, you know, Edith Piaf, Jacques Brel, Yves Montand, Charles Trenet. So they're my influences and my inspiration. And we do try to perform in that kind of style. So it's slightly nostalgic and retro. And yeah, that's where I come from. Right? Yeah, I think that's what inspires me.
So somebody could perhaps go across to Paris and hear that sort of music.
They would, yes.
But at the same time, we've very much tried to develop a style of our own, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Mm. So it is a lovely sound. I very much enjoyed that.
Now on the phone, direct from Molyneux, kind of, Julian Britton, Conference and Banqueting Manager. Hello.
Good evening, Jason. Good evening, Zoe. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah, long time no see. Last time was Christmas.
Yes,
oh, it
indeed.
Was.
Well, actually,
yes.
I've seen you since then, but you haven't seen Zoe. But there we are. And loads of stuff coming up in 2014, as we said, when you were in for the end of year quiz.
Yep.
But there's more dates in the diary than ever before, I think, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've launched so many events over the last sort of couple of months, and coming up to a busy period now, February, March, April time. Yeah, very busy for us.
What have you got first up?
First one, I suppose, really, is our Valentine's with Bublé.
Ooh,
yep, now this is in WV1.
It is, WV1 restaurant. I do the singing as Bublé nowadays. We've got a professional for that. But yeah, it's something we're doing new for Valentine's. Obviously, it falls on a Friday this year, which is good for us. But we've got Tom Fawkes, who's a great Bublé tribute, and he's going to be singing along, nice romantic meal for two, and then disco to finish it all.
And we've also got Sir Jack's restaurant available if people fancy a more quieter meal option,
more
too.
More intimate, we'll put it that way. That one, we've got a gourmet night running, with lots of sharing platters and bottle of house wine per couple. So,
and that's priced at 60.
Lovers that night.
So that one's £65 per couple. The Bublé event is £30 per person.
That's right, yes.
And it's a lovely romantic way of spending your Valentine's evening.
Well, I always say, you see, Valentine's about the two loves of your life, isn't it?
Yeah, football and the young lady.
No, I thought you could say food and lady. Football and lady.
Yeah, there you go.
And the comedy night is back in WV1 too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, basically, the comedy night is the second year we're doing those. Friday the 14th of March, and already selling amazingly well, that one.
I have heard they're very good evenings.
They are. I've been to one. I've only had a chance to get to one because I'm normally out of the country. I think I'm actually in the UK for that one, so I will be there. Okay.
Good man. As you've experienced for yourself, Chase, they are brilliant nights. And just for £10 a person, you can't grumble.
And it's not it's an in-your-face sort of night either. If you want to join in with the acts, then that's fine.
Absolutely.
But there's no pressure, and you don't have to feel like you're at a comedy club where they will
pick on
people.
On
exactly.
They will play along with you, but they won't necessarily pick on you.
So you're not going to be scared to go to the toilet for fear of being picked up.
No, we have breaks for that, Zoe, don't worry.
You'd have to put your hand up halfway through through a joke, but there we are. And what else have we got lined up for this year?
Also 7th of March, Friday the 7th, we've got Scar and Two-Tone Night with the Two Tonics, again in WV1 restaurant, Friday the 7th of March, and that one's just, again, £10 a person. Something we're trying this year is to bring the cost of the events down slightly by making them, not so much, the food inclusive, but more, just come along and have a drink and listen to music.
Come along and have a drink. And if you want to buy food, there's often food available.
Absolutely.
But again, at sensible prices.
Yeah.
So you can enjoy what you want to and make the most of a night. Or eat before you come out and just have a few drinks as you sit back and listen to what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And that one we've got a disco on as well, so it goes on till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
But, they are, obviously I work at Molyneux, but they are great value and they're becoming more and more popular.
And we're both biased, but it is the best venue in Wolverhampton, isn't it?
Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt, mate. Thank you.
It is. There's no two ways about it. And the number of different ways you can set the room up. Obviously, I've been involved in a number of different events over there, whether I've been helping your host or whether I've just been sitting there as a punter, which I do enjoy doing on many an occasion. And it is just, the room changes to suit whatever it needs to do.
The thing I say to people all the time is if you want to be in a football club, you can sit in WV1 restaurant and you know you're at Molyneux. If you're not particularly interested in football, you can sit in WV1 restaurant. You could be anywhere in the country.
Yep. And enjoying good food, good company, and good events and entertainment.
Absolutely, yeah.
Julian, give us the web address and phone numbers.
Of course I will, yeah. Not a problem. The telephone number is 0871-222-220. Press option 5 to get through to our office. Or you can email candb@wolves.co.uk.
So that's candb@wolves.co.uk or 0871-222-220. Pressing option 5, most importantly, because it takes straight through to your desk, doesn't it?
Absolutely
straight
right.
To the boss.
All details are on corporatewolves.co.uk.
Yeah, brilliant. Great speaking to you as ever, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you, Jason. Thank you,
Bye.
Bye.
So one final song from you now, Jocelyn. What is it going to be this time around?
Well, I'm glad to say this one is a happier one.
Okay, finish off on a high note. That's good.
I'm going to finish on a high. This is called Farmer Boys, and it's a song I wrote a couple of years ago when I just came across a photo of myself at the age of 12 when I was on holiday, and sitting literally on a bale of straw next to this little lad. His name was Claude. He was 13 years old, and he was my first love. I grew up in Paris, and most summer we would spend our summer holidays in the south of France in Provence, and that's where I met Claude. And the reason why I was so impressed with Claude is that he was the only 13-year-old boy I knew who wore long trousers, like the men did. And he wore a shirt with long sleeve, and he would roll them up like the men did, and I was most impressed with that. And he had his own wheels. He could drive his dad's tractor. So I think that's what clinched it. So coming across that picture, I thought that deserves a little song, you know, and Farmer Boy was born. I found an old photo, forgotten in a drawer, a treasured memory of a life left behind. Two kids' faces aglow, sat on a bale of straw, posing still for the shot, the last thing on their mind. Each summer we'd flee Paris on the way to Provence, the village where you, on the other side of France. You were 13 already, helping your dad on the land. I was 12 and shy and playing the first time you took my hand. And when the wind blows from the south, I can taste again in my mouth the wine we used to drink when we were young. Farmer boy, can you still feel the way we used to dance when we were young? Each year you'd be waiting, standing there at the gate, taller and stronger still, but not quite a man yet. Each year the same old games, me with you everywhere. Innocence has no shame, knows no reason to care. We'd run across the vineyards, climb a stack just for fun. We'd laugh and shriek as we fled the threat of the farmer's gun. Your hair was gold as the wheat, your eyes cornflower blue, and your lips on mine so sweet, just 15, but I loved you. And now when the wind blows from the south, I can taste again wine we used to drink when we were young. When the corns were in the field, my farmer boy, can you still feel the way we used to dance when we were young? I heard that you married a girl from the village. You still work on the land your father left to you. Your son looked just like you at 13 years of age, as he runs through the fields, holding a girl's hand too. I followed my city road, as expected it seemed. No children, but life is good, if not everything I dreamed. When the summer comes along, we drive to the south of France, but I've never returned to that village in Provence. Just again in my
way we used to dance when we were young. When the wind blows from the south, I can't just again in my mouth the wine we used to drink when we were young. When the corns were in the field, my farmer boy, can you still feel the way we used to dance when we were young? La 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 la
It's my favourite.
It's absolutely lovely. Yes. Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming in. Really love the sound. First of all, web addresses if people want to get hold of you and phone numbers and things.
Yes, the web address is www.enchanté, that's en-chanté, chante.co.uk.
And it sounds much nicer from a French accent when you do that. There we go.
All the information's there.
And you get another flavour for the sound. And see what you look like when you're performing as well, which is good too.
Yes, you'll get pictures, video clips, everything.
And Nick, tell us about your studio whilst you're here.
Okay, I have a very small Ambijo studio. It's called The Shed because it is a shed, but it's quite an expensive shed. I use a complete digital recording system, and it's open for hire for anyone who wants to record. I specialise mostly in acoustic music. I don't do groups with loud guitars and drums bashing away.
It'd bring the shed down, wouldn't it, that sort of thing?
Yeah, it would do, yeah.
And where do we find that one?
You can get to that, again, by the website, which is www.theshed-recording.co.uk.
Theshed-recording.co.uk, or if you want the music, on-chante.co.uk, and you can get absolutely everything to do with these guys who've been absolutely fantastic here in the studio tonight. So Nick's got his studio, Jocelyn's got the website. Ron, tell us a bit more about you and your music, because you've performed at the Conservatoire in Birmingham, haven't you?
Yeah, well, basically I was a student at the Conservatoire I started in 1997, so I actually went there as a mature student. Had a great time. Studied with a great teacher, and since I've left the Conservatoire, I mean, mainly my profession is through teaching. So I teach a lot of children to play the guitar, aged between probably about 8, and my eldest would be about 17, I think. So I gain a lot of satisfaction from that. So my career is based around the guitar now, so I'm very happy with that.
You're all fantastic musicians. I absolutely loved having all of you along, and it's been really a great pleasure for us to hear you performing.
Thank you.
We go to the phones where we find Gary Sawyers. Black Country Gaz to you and me. Hello, sir, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you very much, Jason.
Good stuff. Now, you've got a little bit of a festival coming up that's happening in the glorious month of July. It's going to be fantastic weather. There's going to be some great food, and there's some brilliant music as well.
Well, we're going to have the best food in the world. It's called Faggot and Pays. It's also called Grey Pays and Bacon and Grotty Pud.
And it all has an after effect, which keeps the music rolling throughout the night as well.
It has a nice effect, yes. It's all good stuff. Very good for you.
I've never tried it, but I have heard it's supposed to be really nice.
Well, you want to go to the Fountain Inn in Tipton, for instance. They do a beautiful Faggot and Pays. Really nice. It's not what you imagine. They do sound quite dreadful, really. I've got to be honest. They are lovely, tasty, and they use sort of liver and all sorts of stuff in them, onions and one thing and another. So it's nice. I recommend them.
Proper black country food. And it is a proper black country festival. What is the date for all of this?
Right, the date. It's a bit like the black country. No beginning, no end. It's it's all around the 14th of July. So that is Black Country Day. So I put the feelers out. I got in touch with the council and one thing and another, excited a few people. And it's starting in Stourbridge. They will be having celebrations in the town at most every venue in Stourbridge from the 6th of July. And then on the 11th, on the Friday, the weekend after, Dudley starts. There's one venue starting on the Friday. And then on the 12th, on the Saturday, things kick off for quite big then. And, of course, then we got the Black Country Day to look forward to. And anything can happen anywhere in the Black Country.
So, basically, there's a Facebook page. If there's an event going on that's for this, people can get in touch and tell you about it and get people along.
Exactly. There's a website as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's blackcountryfestival.co.uk. And you can get the... It's the same for the website, or you can find it off there. Tell you what's what. I mean, for instance, if you can juggle and you want to just walk to your town, it doesn't matter where it is, Black Country town, get in there and juggle, you know what I mean? And be proud to wave the flag for the Black Country.
Mm. And did you actually get to be able to wave the flag? Can we actually buy a Black Country flag as well?
Well, you want to know where to get flags from? You can purchase them from the Black Country Living Museum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. And I have seen them on eBay as well.
Ah.
Or if you want to. If you want a little flag, for like a bumper sticker or a bin sticker or whatever, you can also go to the website and send me a self-addressed envelope, stamped addressed envelope.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't that rich. And I'll bang a couple of stickers in there and post them to you for free. Or if you want to drop 50p in with your letter, you're more than welcome.
You'll take the cash. That's the way it works. So it's going to be... A load of events. It's sort of the ball has started rolling now, and we need to find out who's interested, who's going to be involved, and make sure everyone gets together. And it's all coordinated through these websites. And there's obviously a lot of people doing work on it. There's obviously the people down there at the Only Way is Dudley Facebook page as well. They're tied in with it too. Is it Steve over there?
That's right. Yep. Steve Briscoe. He's doing this, that, and the other. And so many names, it's untrue. So many people, so many...
And so much passion for our area.
I've got to admit, I must have had just over 200 people join the group, the Facebook group, yesterday.
Mm.
And all the time it's going, bing, another one, bing, another one. And I'm thinking, people actually do and actually are very proud to be Black Country.
Yeah.
It's quite evident. But, we've got the Black Country Museum on board, we've got the zoo on board. We've got in Dudley itself, the Saracen's Head, the courthouse, the Lamp Tavern, so on and so on and so on and so on.
Mm.
And I'm talking to people in Wensbury. I can't really say too much because I'm not supposed to know. but basically, I've heard it through the grapevine through friends that there's one or two big venues in Wensbury might be doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken to like people in Sitton, people. I've tried to get in touch with a couple of councils as well, like. Warsaw Council, I've dropped them a line,
mm-hmm.
so at least they know that something's going on, so they've got no excuse to party. And I was on the phone to the council team today at Wolverhampton, so I've sort of been like, you know, if you see a lot of stuff going on, you've got to get on board, or you don't want to be a party pooper. So, but basically, it's for anyone who's Black Country. They can do absolutely anything within the law. I mean, go to your town, do a bit of busking, do a bit of dancing, a zumba, whatever you want to do. Spark off an event at your pub, at your club, an open mic, whatever you want to, and sort of build it up from there.
All under one banner, and basically for that period in the midst of July, to bring the whole of the Black Country to life with many of the traditional music or any other talents.
Exactly.
If you want to sit in the middle of a town making locks, I'm sure we won't mind that in Willenhall. That'd be quite interesting to see. So anything like that, get involved and get in touch. So the websites again are?
Right, it's dead simple, blackcountryfestival.co.uk. And the Facebook is the same, Facebook Black Country Festival. So just look for Black Country Festival almost anywhere. It's going to be everywhere soon. and there's people joining all the time. And as I say, I'm getting ideas. I've had belly dancers get in touch. I've had all sorts of dancers, stilt walkers, lots and lots of bands and guitar singers and one thing and another.
It's going to be big, isn't it, this?
I think it possibly could be as big as anything you can imagine.
Yeah. So it would be good if a lot of people get involved, particularly like if they do outdoor things as well, so all the neighbours can come round. And
indeed, well,
because the weather's going to be nice, I would imagine.
Oh,
that
time it's going to be wonderful. Don't you book a holiday away? You've got to come. but people have said to me, you know, will there be any sort of any stuff we can use to publicise this our event? So what we're trying to do, we're trying to get Black Country printed bunting done. This is through the council and posters and things like that. But if you go to my site, if you're doing something, I put a couple of posters on there, A4, so you can just download it. And one says, we're supporting it, and the other one's got a gap where you can just write what you want to do on that day. So I'm trying to do what I can with, like, a shoestring.
Yeah.
But next year, I expect, when people realise it,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
I hope to get sponsored.
This is going to be the growing event, prove the Black Country's got an appetite for it, and who knows what's going to happen there, not only in 2014, but 2015 and beyond.
We're amazing people, we're wonderful people, and we've got to celebrate it. And that's basically it. It's a celebration of just how wonderful we are.
So, Gaz, it's all centred around the 14th of July, the website we've had, and we will talk to you again close to the time, and you can tell us a bit of a rundown on what's happening around and about the Black Country itself.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much for the support.
Speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Take care now. Bye.
That's it for us this week. Now, I'm in Brazil officially next week, so we will have a chat with a musician together, won't we, because we've already recorded
that. We've done that, yeah, so I'll be there in spirit.
Yeah, but who knows what else is going to happen, as I shall be in Rio de Janeiro and Niterói.
Got anything planned, or are you just going to pluck
nothing
somebody
yet
off the street?
We'll have a chat with someone in Portuguese next week, probably. It'll be very confusing, I know that much. But thank you for joining us. We'll be back then. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.